and so to our second 5 Under 40 scientist, Dr. Kirsty Short, and her work.
Resistance to antibiotics is allowing long treatable diseases to once again become killers.
Now, for the first time, the World Health Organization has released a report showing how vulnerable we are.
We've heard a lot in the news about superbugs. These are bacteria that are resistant to conventional antibiotics. The number of these superbugs is on the rise, largely thanks to the overprescription and inappropriate use of antibiotics. As a result, the World Health Organization now says that we should think of ourselves as living on the cusp of the post-antibiotic era, where antibiotics will no longer be of any use to treat bacterial infections. Now, this is obviously very bad news for the treatment of conditions such as bacterial pneumonia, bacterial meningitis, and even some STDs. But what does antibiotic resistance mean for the flu? You're probably thinking, well, it doesn't mean a whole lot, since antibiotics can only be used to treat bacterial infections, and the flu is caused by a virus called influenza. However, what many people don't realise is that the flu virus leaves you susceptible to secondary bacterial infections. That is to say, about 2 weeks after you have recovered from a flu infection, you can often fall sick again with symptoms like a runny nose, a cough, and so on. This is because the flu virus has altered your immune system and left you susceptible to a secondary bacterial infection. This can be just as dangerous as the primary viral infection. And this was clearly demonstrated in the deadly 1918 flu pandemic.
Some did call it the pneumonic plague, but I was walking along there in front of Lowe's, and this chap was walking about 5 yards ahead of me, walking normally, and then all of a sudden he started to stagger, and then went sideways like a crab, and then kaplunk, right fair down on the footpath. Well, the usual little crowd gathered. Someone raced inside, brought out a blanket, someone had rang from the ambulance. So he's covered over in that. And as the ambulance came to hand, somebody said, this could be the pneumonic flu. We'll all be quarantined. Well, they cleared quicker than anything you could wish for.
And then they used to have this big cart going around, and it was a big, long, fat cart with two horses. And if you had dead people in the house, sometimes they had boxes made out of soup boxes, and other times they wrapped the bodies up in the blanket and just put them all on this cart and took them away. I don't know where they took them to or where they buried them or anything.
The 1918 flu pandemic shows just how devastating infectious diseases can be. The people you just heard are the lucky ones. They survived. There were up to 50 million people worldwide, of whom we cannot say the same thing. What we now know is that a large percentage of people who died from the 1918 flu didn't die from the virus itself. Rather, it was the secondary bacterial infections that proved fatal. These infections were so rife that at the time, many people mistakenly assumed that the flu was a bacterium. Because the first antibiotic was not discovered until 1928, there was very little that could be done for infected individuals. The problem of secondary bacterial infections was not unique to the 1918 pandemic. We saw very much the same phenomenon during the recent swine flu outbreak of 2009. In fact, experimental data suggests that the flu not only leaves you susceptible to severe bacterial infections, but you are also more likely to spread bacteria to other people. A very scary thought in a pandemic. Thankfully, during the outbreak of swine flu, anyone in Australia who developed a secondary bacterial infection could go to the doctor and get antibiotics. But what will happen when the antibiotics stop working? Are we doomed to repeat the horrors of the 1918 pandemic? It is, of course, impossible to predict, but I think it's safe to say that unless we start addressing the issue of antibiotic resistance, we are setting ourselves up for some serious problems during the next flu pandemic. So what can we do? Well, on an individual level, there's some very simple measures that we can employ to reduce the spread of antibiotic resistance. These include making sure that when we're sick, we don't have this automatic assumption that we should get antibiotics from the doctor. Antibiotics should only be used when they're completely necessary. On a global level, We need continuous surveillance of the spread and the incidence of antibiotic resistance, as well as putting in place strong incentives to develop and test new antibiotics. The next flu pandemic is not a matter of if, but when, and we need to make sure that we're prepared.
Kirsty Short from the University of Queensland.